Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Football Fanalytics Podcast in association with 23. This is the show that explores the ever-growing world of football analytics and takes on the many tactical and topical discussions within the game. You are listening to Hard Cold Facts, which is a new feature, everyone. My name is Ryan Bailey and I am joined by the king of Hard Cold Facts himself. Mr. Mark Carey, is that how you'd like to be defined? Hard cold facts?
Yeah, I mean, I'll absolutely take that. Anytime I'm called king, I will absolutely take that title. Hello. I want to say hello, Ryan, with a question mark at the end, because it's been a little while since we've done recording, but we've shared with the listeners before that these are going to be a little bit fewer and further between in terms of the episodes that we do.
Yeah. But are you saying it with a question mark because you can't remember my name?
Yeah. I don't see you in real life. It's purely podcast only. But no, this is going to be an exciting extra feature, as you mentioned.
You couldn't even be bothered to bring your microphone along today. You just sat in a hotel room just on your laptop.
Well, yeah, I must apologise to the listeners. My audio isn't going to be great, but commitment to the Football Fanalytics podcast, and that is all you can ask for, Ryan. So without doubt, let's just carry on.
Okay, let's do it. Hard Cold Facts, Mark, is the name of the game. It's the currency that we deal in. It's the currency you deal in. I'm not really sure I've got many hard cold facts at my sleeve.
Chief of Vibes, Ryan Bailey.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same ring, does it? I think the aim of this game, essentially, is, like you say, we've got some busy schedules going on this end. But this is a new way for us to keep up to date with what's going on in the footballing world and to bring a little bit of discussion to the table on some topical stuff. I'm sure what you're going to bring to the table is much more actually informative and sort of on brand to the listeners. I've got some musings rather than hard, cold facts, I'd say. Some inquisitive musings. Is that all right?
That's absolutely fine with me. And I also can work off vibes as well. I don't want to be pigeonholed. I don't want to be just the bore.
You're so much more than hard cold facts. Your vibes as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a rounded personality, Ryan. I don't want to be just restricted to one thing. But no, I completely agree. This is going to be a bit more quickfire, a bit of a shorter episode, straight to the point. Far less fun to be had. No working through some real complicated terms. We are going to be straight to the point.
Expected vibes are low in this scenario.
Straight to the point. Not here to have fun.
All right. Well, on that joyous, exciting note, let's get into it, shall we?
Let's do it.
Okay, Mark, for the first edition of the aforementioned Hard Cold Facts bonus feature, let's keep it topical. We're just coming out the time of recording, we're just coming off the back of the international break. Two very good wins for England. some other good results along the way. When I left your house yesterday, I tasked you with coming up with some interesting facts, interesting things, thoughts, questions, everything for to talk about from the back of the international break. You go first. What have you got for me?
Okay. Well, I texted you earlier today to say that I was very pleased with my hard cold facts.
You were.
Just a bit of fun. I've got a couple at the team level, a couple at the player level. I've kind of cheated in that. I do have my three, but I've got, you know, an A and a B within each one. So maybe you'd stretch
that's
it to
fine. I'd be a bit disappointed if it was a straight up fact. So it's all right.
Yeah, true. Okay, here we go. First one is Iceland, the country.
Yes.
Had a 7-0 win against Liechtenstein this weekend just gone, which was
7-0.
Their biggest 7-0, which was the interesting thing is it was their biggest winning margin of any match, official match that they played, which I thought was quite fun. So a historic weekend for Iceland. And this is fun as well. So this is my sort of subsection hard cold fact. Aaron Gunnarsson, formerly of Cardiff City, he scored a second half hat trick, which was more goals in 16 minutes than his previous 100 appearances for his country, which I just thought was just fun and funny from Aaron Gunnarsson. So big weekend for all those in Iceland.
Here's a question. How did you find that fact?
None of your business. I'm not going to give away the secret sauce to everyone.
Well, straight away, this format is falling to bits because I've absolutely no idea how to match that kind of thing because... what I've gone and got is basically not the same as that. But that's genuinely a good, hard, cold fact off
how
the back
fun.
Of the international break. So I'm just wondering how you've stuck to the brief so accurately.
Well, you know, I take this podcast seriously. I've told you, we're not here to have fun. We're here to have some facts.
I thought there might be some, like, discussion, but you've just come in with a good, hard, cold fact, which is, well played. All right.
It's a pretty watertight one as well, to be honest. It's not too much to bounce off. But, I mean, yeah, there it is. I mean, do you want me to go into the next one, or do you want to bounce off and give me one?
Well, I'll tell you what, let me hit you with one of my musings because it's probably the only thing that is legitimately a fact and I'm not even sure I understand it. So when tasked with this, I went to a source who I get a lot of enjoyment from following on Twitter, and I'm sure you know who this is and I'm sure a lot of our listeners know who this is. There's a guy called Richard Jolly who he is something like a senior football person at one of the really good, I think it's the Independent, senior football correspondent. And he always comes out with these ridiculous facts. So I thought I'm going to go see if there's anything from the international break. And obviously, big news as England followers, you know, Harry Kane breaking the record, the English goal scoring record, which was amazing. I thought surely there's got to be something on that. And I was correct. His Richard Jolly posted, he said, only own goals, 57. Out ahead of Harry Kane, 54 for goals for England now. Own goals, apparently. But then I was confused because I didn't know if he meant there'd be more own goals scored against England, as in like by England players, or as in own goals like contributed towards England's tally.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure. So I thought I'll open that to interpretation to see what you think.
I think it would be the latter. I think it would be that for England need to have been the one to... The scoreline needs to change for England, not against England, for it to be, I think, that fact. So I'd say own goals cumulatively, which is quite crazy to think, actually, across the history of all the eras that Harry Kane is... Well, he's at 55 now. So he's only two away from the history of the whole of the England era. That's nuts.
Yeah, exactly. But then again, though, hang on. I'm going to stick to this point. I'm not sure you're right, though, because wouldn't that be... an own goal for... If England score an own goal, you say that's an own goal for England, don't you? Don't you go... Do you know what I mean? Is it not English players scoring own goals?
Yeah, but would that not then be broken down by each player? As in, there's not a player who scored 57 own goals.
No, but England players collectively, have they scored 57 own goals?
I suppose. I mean, my head's gone.
Very open to interpretation.
I definitely think it's the former of what I said. But my head's gone. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure Richard Jolly gets his hard cold facts from listening to the Football Analytics podcast. So maybe if he's listening, he can get in touch and let us know which of the things he meant. Or some of the listeners, please let us know in your interpretation, having read that fact, what you would think it would be. I was thinking the other way, Mark. But either way, an interesting little tidbit right there.
Yes, I'll give you that one. It was interesting. I like that one. England-centric as well, which is good. My other two aren't England-centric because we do both have a tendency to stick with our own country.
I mean, my other two aren't even international-centric, so don't worry about it.
All right, well, I'll bring us back on track. Don't worry about that. I'm going to go to Spain now, and it was Luis de la Fuente, the new manager for Spain. It was his first game managed in the weekend just gone. They won 3-0 over Norway.
Nice.
So that was just interesting in itself, the fact that it's obviously a new manager, new era for Spain. The squad itself was interesting to see, some quite older names in and amongst there. But one of the names that I thought was interesting was Joselu, formerly of Newcastle United and Stoke City,
yes.
Currently Espanyol. People will be familiar with him. And he came on and scored. He's another one who scored more than one goal. He scored two goals in the 84th and 85th minute, so in quick succession. And the fact that I'm giving you here, Ryan, is that he became the first Spain player to score twice on his debut since Fernando Morientes in 1998. Which I just think is just a nice little fact for you.
That's a really good fact. Fernando Morientes, he was Liverpool, wasn't he?
Primarily Real Madrid.
Liverpool also cameo.
He was at Liverpool for a couple of seasons. Did very average, to be perfectly honest. He came in sort of halfway through the Champions League winning season and then wasn't too good after.
Would you say from your fond memory he was better or worse than Milan Baroš?
Worse at the time, yeah.
Right.
I'd say Milan Baroš was a bit more kind of in his peak, even though he wasn't as good as a peak Morientes, if that makes sense. But Fernando Morientes was a brilliant player of his era, but I don't think Liverpool got the best of him. But Joselu scored a brace. He's 32 years of age, but he's been flying for Espanyol. He scored a really good goal against Real Madrid recently. It went completely top bins. Couldn't have been more top bins. He scored 12 goals for Espanyol this season, so doing very well, and rightfully has earned his call-up. Actually, I say that, Ryan. I said he's 32. The day of recording, he is 33 today.
Really?
So he was 32 when he scored his brace, but now 33. So it shows,
Happy birthday.
As much as anything for Spain, that they are having to call upon elder statesmen at the top end of the field. They haven't really got a great deal of strength in that regard up front. But Joselu's carrying them through, so no worries.
Well, speaking of in depth up front for Spain, I saw a post the other day that sort of outlined all the major countries in Europe who have changed their captain into the new era. I think hasn't Alvaro Morata been made captain of Spain as of recently?
Yeah, that's a hard cold fact in itself. We should be aware of that, but that's a good one. You don't get too many strikers being captain. Obviously, Harry Kane for England is a captain as well. But as much as anything, it's probably because he is a bit of an elder statesman, but someone who's been in the squad consistently for quite some time now. So, new era with De La Fuente and Morata as captain.
Would you rather have a striker as a captain or a goalkeeper as a captain if you had to run your team?
Ooh, good question. I would rather have a striker, actually, because the striker is more mobile to be able to berate if they need to their teammates rather than a keeper. A keeper can't really come out of his box, never mind beyond the halfway line to sort of try and get things going. Would you say that? What would you say?
I would say that. The only thing I would say that the keeper offers that the striker doesn't is potentially the organisation marshalling of the back.
Be able
which
to
feels
see the
like
whole
it's more
as well.
And more, more feels like it's the captain's job than someone who has to sort of, not every striker has to hang up front, obviously, but someone who is confined to the forward spaces. Just wondered. Like I say, Mark, I bring musings and tidbits rather than facts, although
true.
Morata being captain of Spain was one of my facts.
You bring more questions than answers, Ryan. That's your skill set.
That's so true.
Have you got a second fact?
My second thing is technically not an international thing, but I've gone on a technicality that it basically happened within the international period. So I thought, hard cold facts. I don't know if there's hard cold rules, but I've gone for something like that. And obviously, in the last couple of days during the international break, Antonio Conte has been sacked from Tottenham, which kind of felt inevitable, didn't it? Let's be honest.
Absolutely, yeah. There's no real coming back after what he said.
No. So I was just scrolling down earlier and something caught my eye on Sky Sports and I thought I'd impress you with this. Basically, I saw a graphic that said best points per game at Spurs. And basically, Antonio Conte is third on the list. Now, the reason I think this will impress you is because my first thought was, you idiots, sample size. Guess who's the top of the points per game charts for Spurs out of their last seven managers?
Well, it depends whether they're including Ryan Mason, because that was just funny that he's...
Not him.
Fine.
Because, yes, that is also a sample size headache, isn't it?
Yeah. What is it, Poch, based on what you said?
No.
Who is it?
Tim Sherwood.
Oh, you well. Yeah.
Hilarious. 22 games, points per game, 1.91. Pochettino, 202 games, 1.89. Antonio Conte, 56 games, 1.88. And I was like, straight away, terrible sample size. Come on. Let's be having it, Sky Sports. You're better than that.
You should have tweeted in.
And I should have, shouldn't I? Yeah. And I'm not sure that qualifies for hard, cold facts. But I did think it was a good conversation starter because it then led me to think, can you guess how many managers Spurs have had in the last 22 years?
22 specifically?
22 years.
I'd say, well, based on the fact that seven takes you to Sherwood. Or does it? That wasn't part of the question. I'd probably say nine.
17 managers.
17 managers?
They've had 17 managers. That is including Ryan Mason, though.
I could do, yeah, maybe try and
name
those.
How many can you name?
Offline, we should maybe name them. I'm thinking going back to Ramos and Martin Jarl and Glenn Hoddle and Pochettino, Redknapp, Sherwood, Mason, Conte, obviously. A head's gone. Villas-Boas. You're looking at them, aren't you? So you just know. Under pressure, I'm out. There's probably loads more.
Some of them that you didn't name, which I never would have got.
David Pleat, yeah. Obviously.
Jack Santini.
Right.
Who I've never heard of. Clive Allen.
I think but he's not interim. I feel like that's...
I mean, look, let's be honest. It's a random person on Twitter who said it and who I'm just looking at. That's about as hard, cold facts as I get, Mark.
Good fun.
But yeah, good fun. And then the final thing I want to say on Tim Sherwood before I give the floor back to you was just more of a question. Did you see his rant about modern managers and brainwashing and all the things, basically saying that the terminology has changed but the game is the same? And he attacked the sacred law and language of analytics, and I just wondered if you'd seen it.
I have seen it. It's a topic we've spoken about at length, isn't it, about just the evolution of these different terms and the fact that we agree to the extent that football is ultimately the same game. When we said about like high pressing and all that, we've said it ourselves that this isn't a new thing, it's just under a new guise. So no, I did see it. I think even if it was going to be, if I was going to come back with a quip to him, he used the word terminology and not words. So if we're going to go by that same thing, he could use more simple terminology himself. So it takes one to know one, Timothy.
Yeah. Screw you, Tim Sherwood.
Exactly, yeah. But I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Go on then, hit me with your final hard, cold fact.
Okay, to end our little bonus episode, I want to talk about Rasmus Højlund. And this was actually something that someone sent in over Twitter to remind us that we should definitely be talking about him. And I totally agree. He made his debut for Denmark in September 2022, just gone. But he made his first international start at the weekend, just gone. And he's got a hat-trick. 3-1 win against Finland, and he scored three goals in his first start. And he's a really exciting player for Atalanta, doing really well. He scored seven goals this season. He's only 20 years old and doing really well. He followed up that hat-trick with two more goals against Kazakhstan this international break just gone. So he's already scored five goals in just four appearances. So if he carries on at that rate, he's going to overtake probably Cristiano Ronaldo at that rate. He's a really exciting sort of poacher player, 6'3", left-footed. Højlund sounds a bit like Haaland. There's so many similarities. Definitely a player to look out for.
I wonder if he's going to overtake the own goals of his country as well. whether that's them scoring for or against, we just don't know. It could be.
Well, I think that's an exciting one. I think he's a really exciting player. I think we should be talking about him more across the rest of this season for players to look out for in Europe. So, yeah, if anyone hasn't already seen him play, many people will be across Serie A and obviously Atalanta as well. So this might not be a new name to a lot of people, but if you haven't heard of him or heard him or seen him play, then you definitely should.
Absolutely. Well, you once again have put it out of the bag with a hard, cold fact. I am going to finish, Mark, with a... What was it you said it was earlier? It was silly questions that I'm going to finish with trademark.
More questions than answers. I wasn't saying silly questions.
I'm going to finish with a more question than answer style question. I saw, again, I think it was on Instagram I saw this actually. It was a viral video of a Sunday League football game earlier, and it was of a team who kicked the ball out for a goal kick, as in the goalkeeper kicked it out, lumped it to the other team's centre-back, and you may have seen this video or not, the centre-back hit it first time on the volley with a very loud F-off, and it flew back towards the keeper, and it lobbed the keeper and went in, and it was one of the most joyous things I've ever seen. I'll put the link in the bio if no one's seen it, but it was absolutely hilarious and amazing in equal measure, and it just prompted me with a question, Mark. I wanted to know, what's your favourite ever halfway line goal?
Oh, I mean, I haven't seen this video, first and foremost. I would love
have
to see
not?
This video.
Oh my God, it's special. It's a Sunday league you get. They've got a yellow kit on, and as I say, there's a nice bit of play, and the keeper gets it in his hands, boots it out, and genuinely he volleys the ball back, the centre back, and he shouts off and hits it, and it flies back and lobs the keeper, and it's an absolute wonder goal. Like seriously wonder goal.
I look forward to seeing this video very soon. I'll find out at the same time as the listeners at this rate. Yeah, please do put a link in the bio for that one. I do want to see this. What's my favourite halfway line goal? I mean, with my Liverpool hat on, it would be Xabi Alonso against Luton Town in the FA Cup. Not necessarily because of the finish, but many people will be familiar with the Steven Gerrard double take from a certain camera angle where Steven Gerrard's running far beyond the goalkeeper and he could just run it into an empty net, but Alonso decides to shoot from his own half instead, and Gerrard goes to shout at him and then looks at the goal, looks back at him and realises, oh, it's actually
amazing.
It's going on target. So that's a really nice moment. So that'd probably be my one. I'm guessing with your David Beckham hat on that you would say David Beckham.
Ooh, you guessed wrong, sir, actually, for the first time. I actually, controversially, don't think David Beckham's is as good as everyone makes out it is compared to some of the other absolute barnstormers I've seen. I have found a article that has the top 10 ever halfway line goals on it, which again, I will put in the bio because that's worth 4 minutes of just scrolling. It's so much fun. One of them is the Xabi Alonso one, so I know what you're talking about. But this article piqued a memory that I'd forgotten I had, and I've watched it 4 times in a row just before coming on this call. There's a goal from 2011, and it's from Inter Milan player. Do you remember Stankovic? Who played? He's like an attacking midfielder.
And the ball goes so flat, doesn't it?
And he basically hits it on the volley after, again, a keeper kicks it out. I'm not sure if he shouts F off, but he sort of hits it side, like one of those where he gets his foot really high, sort of hits it sideways, and oh my God, it flies like a rocket back towards the goal, and it's an absolute stunner. There was also that, I mean, there was that one the other week, wasn't there, from the the Sporting player who lobbed Ramsdale.
Pedro, I mean, it was, Gonçalves.
That's the one, Pedro Gonçalves. I remember Charlie Adams scored a really good one previously, but yeah, I think the Stankovic one is just absolutely insane. So I'll stick that that article in the bio as well, and if anyone wants to have a look, it's well worth your time.
Well, we've got 2 links of bios from Ryan, and we've got 2 out of the 3 of your hard, cold facts based on the theme of international football as Sunday League and best halfway line goals.
Yeah. Yeah, and Tim Sherwood, basically. I'm not sure how... I basically really didn't get the brief at all, but at least I've brought something along.
So good. This is absolutely true to form from both of us. That I've gone so narrow into my hard, cold facts, and you've gone chief of vibes. I really enjoyed that, Ryan. Thank you for having me there.
Yeah, well, you're very welcome. And anyone want any vibes, anytime, you know where I am. Just come find me on Twitter. Right, anyway, that's it. We've debuted the new Hardcore Facts. That was a lot of fun. Listeners, you can get in touch with us. Tell us what your favourite halfway line goal is. Tell us your favourite Hardcore Fact that you learned this week. We're going to make this more of a regular thing when we haven't done a full-on episode. So get in touch with us. You know where to do so. We are fanalytics.pod@gmail.com on email, or you can follow us at fanalyticspod on social media. Mark, I think you need to go away and revise. Get yourself coming back with some interest things for the next time we do an episode. Meanwhile, I'm going to go bask in the glory of my hard, cold facts. But in the meantime, see you next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.